Our epistle for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject, in hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only it, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats moored by the lake. But the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And going into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he besought him to put out a little from the land. And sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will lower the net." And when they had done so, they enclosed a great number of fishes, but their net was breaking. And they beckoned to their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had made. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid henceforth. Thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
We'll be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Once again, wishing all of our fathers a happy Father's Day. It is, I think, important and interesting for us to review where we have such a celebration derived from. It wasn't just something that started in our country. We can look back to the Middle Ages at the day fatherhood was celebrated was March 19th. It's believed that the Franciscans had this celebration in 1508. Of course, in our country, we started to do this the third Sunday of June. That started about 1910. Promoted by a lady named Sonora Smart Dodd, where having celebrated Mother's Day, thought fatherhood should be celebrated as well in our country, making it a national holiday, or working towards making it a national holiday. Actually, this whole effort started in Spokane Ministerial Association, to promote that Father's Day to be celebrated worldwide. But even before such a term, fatherhood has always been something to be revered. The chosen people always referred to Abraham as their father, and the patriarchs of the family as something to be upheld, honored, and to find blessing from. But we have been given opportunity by the good Lord himself, by what he has done for us and the institutions he has established, and the sacraments by which we are able to call God Father. He encourages us, beckons us, even begs us to do so. This is how you should pray: "Our Father who art in heaven." Interesting, today during the reading of the gospel, talking about of failure of the apostles, these fishermen. In the commentaries, they had been out all week. They hadn't caught anything. Yes, in the scripture today, it says that they were out all night. But it wasn't just one night. They came back. They were cleaning their nets from their failed expedition. And the Lord appears on the scene. Tells them to put out again. We just pulled in. We've been there all night. But our Lord convinces them. And we read about the great miracle, the catch of fish, even so that the boats would sink. It reminds me of our failed expeditions, our failed endeavors. Even the ones that would appear to be successful, in the long run, they are failures, unless, as it says in Psalm 126, the Lord builds the house. They labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, he watches in vain that keeps it. We cannot just have an idea of God here and say, Father, this over there. No, but from our heart of hearts, we have to call upon God as our Father. And then we realize our purpose, our value, and our goal. In the epistle, we read that the world has been condemned to frustration. It's waiting. Like we are condemned to frustration, the frustration of fighting within ourselves. Christ puts it well where he says, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. There's a struggle. There's a part of us, the greater part of us, that wants goodness, that wants eternal happiness, that wants to be united with the Godhead, for that is a human creature's true purpose. And there's another part of us that wants to hold on to the moments of the world, the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, which are so short-term. Well, let's take a look at the world. Why is it moaning and travailing? Why is it condemned to frustration? It is condemned to frustration because the head of creatures and creation, God had placed at the head of all his creatures, Adam, the Father. And the Father disobeyed the Heavenly Father. And so we and creation have been dealing in an element of discord, only to be rectified when time is over. There's a great prayer that we read of in the offertory verse, Illumina Oculos Meos, Psalm 21. Enlighten my eyes that I may never sleep in death, lest any time my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Sleep in death, that means be a victim of the world and a victim of the devil and a victim of our fallen human nature. And forgetting that we are sons and daughters of God. Kind of leads us right into the secret, where we find a petition that we should all make to our Heavenly Father. Graciously turn towards thee, even our rebel will. When thinking of these holy thoughts presented to us today in the epistle and the gospel, especially about the fishing, my thought was drawn to the net. It says in scripture, points to it, highlights it, it says they were cleaning their nets. What were they cleaning them of? Not of fish. They were cleaning them of all the waste that they brought up from the sea and all the seaweed and whatever else they found in there because they didn't find fish. We too, each of us, metaphorically speaking, have a net. That net is our heart and our soul. The heart and soul is a simile for one another. It's the same thing. And far too often, our nets go into life, through life, and they collect many things, many thoughts, cares, wants, pride and selfishness, moments that sacrifice the eternal and creatures over the Creator. And it's up to us to clean our nets out and to understand that we're able to catch something far greater. Him. He allows us to catch him if we want him. This is where the words of St. Augustine seems to be appropriate to repeat. Our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and they are restless until they rest in thee. He allows us to catch him with the net of our heart and our soul if we want him, when we receive him in Holy Communion. But even people who receive him in Holy Communion do not capture him in their heart or their soul because they are cluttered with other things. But if they allow themselves to be emptied of those other things and to be visited by our Lord, then by his grace they are able to understand their purpose and to call God Father and find goodness in themselves as his dear children. As we are wont to sing for our closing hymn today, let us make this our prayer today. To the good Lord, be thou my wisdom, thou my true word, I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy dear Son, thou in me dwelling, I with thee one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.